Over the last year or so, the Sound Cues team has gotten a lot of questions about one particular Seattle-based company. It's Amazon. We've gotten questions about how green Amazon's shipping practices are, how Amazon has affected Seattle's economy and politics, and how Amazon's smart speaker and other AI software might be invading our privacy. They're all great questions. And happily, we have friends at KUOW who've been trying to find answers. It's the team making the podcast Primed. They just launched their third season, looking at how Amazon is changing life as we know it. Their first episode focuses on the Amazon smart speaker, how it's interacting with kids, and how parents feel about that. Now, before we turn it over to Primed co-hosts Joshua McNichols and Carolyn Adolph, we want to warn you. This episode uses the wake word for Amazon smart speaker a lot. So if you own one, maybe put it on mute before going any further. Okay? Here's Joshua and Carolyn with Primed.
So, Carolyn, do you remember when we were trying to figure out what season 3 of Primed should be about? And we invited a bunch of people to KUOW for what was basically a focus group with beer.
Hey, there were vegetables too.
Because they're good for you, right? Like public radio.
I cannot believe you said that.
But do you remember what people talked about most?
It was kids and their relationship to Alexa.
It was. Practically everybody in the room had a story about that. One of the people there was a mother of three named Corinna Sullivan.
My name is Corinna Sullivan.
Her family has multiple Echo Dots.
Well, I tell all three of my children that Alexa is a robot and that people have spent a long time putting information into a box. And that's where she gets her information.
On a recent evening, her family used Alexa 40 times in the 6 hours before bed. She knows because you can check that in the Alexa app.
They must be using Alexa to get the kids to brush their teeth and feed the dog. And I don't even know what else. That's a lot of Alexa.
But here's the funny part.
My youngest child's first full sentence was directed not at me, but at my Echo Dot.
What was that sentence?
It was, Wexa my nado.
What's that mean?
Well, it took a while to figure it out, but he demanded at our dot, Wexa my nado. We found out that his nay is his toy pony. And so he was asking where he had misplaced his toy pony.
And what did Alexa say?
Well, she didn't actually pick up on his vocal cues, and so that provided some frustration for him.
Because he didn't say the wake word.
He said Wexa.
From KUOW, this is Primed, a podcast about how Amazon is changing life as we know it.
Welcome to season 3. Amazon's reach into our lives is only getting started, and it's forcing us to reconsider how we do lots of things that we used to take for granted, like going shopping or watching movies.
Take parenting in the age of Alexa. It's gotten complicated. Who could have predicted that kids would become such enthusiastic early adopters?
Alexa, count to 100.
1, 2, 3.
Alexa,
4, 5,
why
6.
Do bees sting people?
Alexa!
Alexa, stop!
No!
Alexa, stop! In this season of Primed, we're going to be looking at more of the ways Amazon is both simplifying and complicating our lives. We'll be talking about elder care and buying prescriptions and worrying about the planet. But we're starting with kids. Amazon is the first and so far the only company to make a kids' version of its smart speaker. That's making many parents kind of nervous. They have a lot of questions. Like, is this going to make my child rude? And should my kid even say please and thank you to a robot? And why do I feel a little queasy when my kid is talking to a smart speaker? We don't have answers to most of those questions yet. There just hasn't been a lot of research about the impact of Alexa on kids and parents because it's so new. But there is some fascinating early work that offers some insights on what's behind those questions. And it found a much older, much more ancient fear. We'll get to that. But first, why did Amazon decide to make a kids' version of the Echo in the first place? We'll tell you after the break. Before we get going, we're going to be talking a lot about smart speakers and Alexa this season. So let's start by very quickly defining a few things. Alexa is a virtual assistant powered by artificial intelligence.
I'm named for the Library of Alexandria, which stored the knowledge of the ancient world.
And she's different from other assistants, like the helpful paperclip that used to help people in Microsoft Office, because she's a voice and not an annoying cartoon character.
And what she does is she connects me to the knowledge of the internet and helps me control devices in my home, like the lights or the air purifier in the bedroom.
The Echo Dot is a smart speaker. It's a cylinder with speakers and microphones inside and a chip that listens for the wake word.
Perfect for any room.
Like a genie in a lamp waiting to be rubbed. But Alexa doesn't live inside the smart speaker exactly. She lives in the cloud. The Echo is like her ears and her mouth.
I remember when a virtual assistant was something that was just on my phone. You know, like Siri.
I'm happy to be alive.
And smart speakers are now in about 120 million homes. That's brought virtual assistants out of our pockets and into our living room where everybody in the household can access them at any time. In my house, Alexa has solved my family's bathroom traffic problems. Our Dot plays one song on repeat when it's my son's turn for the bathroom, and it plays from a different playlist when it's my daughter's turn to brush her teeth. Alexa has gotten so popular that 1 in 4 American families now have a smart speaker. And lots of those households have kids. Which brings us back to why Amazon is interested in kids and smart speakers. Many of those kids now want a smart speaker of their own. But that's where Amazon ran into a problem. Here, I'll show you. Listen to this tape of 5-year-old Oscar asking Alexa if she knows the color of his house.
Alexa, what is the house color?
Here's something I found on reference.com. The home foreclosure process begins with missed mortgage payments,
Alexa,
and failure of the box.
What is this house?
This house is a play by James Graham.
No, it's not.
Alexa just told a kid the bank can take away his house if his parents don't pay? That is so not cool.
Well, we spoke to somebody at Amazon, and he said that parents told them over and over, you have got to make a kid's version of this. So they did.
Introducing Echo Dot Kids Edition. It's everything you love about Alexa, made just for kids. It comes with a kid-friendly case.
But making this thing was complicated. They were going to have to change Alexa and make her more kid-friendly.
We don't want to dumb down Alexa, but we also want to meet kids where they are.
That's Josh Sherman, and he's the director of Amazon's Kids and Family division. And he says the Echo Dot Kids is just like the regular Dot, but it's brightly colored. To me, it looks like a giant piece of saltwater taffy. And it has parental controls, so you can make sure they're not staying up all night asking Alexa questions. And there are other changes, too. Amazon's engineers had to teach Alexa to recognize her wake word in all of its kid variants.
Alexa!
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 Then they had to change Alexa's answers, too.
So if a child asks, why is the sky blue? And the general audience answer is, well, let me tell you about electrons and photons and this chemical and this element and how, like, that's just very confusing for a 6 or a 7 or 8 year old. And if the general audience, Alexa's giving them an answer, then the parent has to decipher. That's another kind of example where parents are saying, look, you haven't really made a kid-focused Alexa.
Can you imagine a kid asks what Manhattan is and gets a recipe that calls for vermouth? Or worse, what if a kid asks Alexa why her parents are getting divorced?
Right. Alexa is not qualified to answer that. But it is getting good at helping curious kids quickly become experts in topics they've become obsessed with, whether it's dinosaurs or the solar system or season 3 of Friends. Whenever a kid asks a question Alexa can't answer, it's some engineer's job to fix it so that next time the kid gets the right answer.
So, in other words, Alexa's listening to all these kids' interactions and recording them so that they can get better at answering.
Yeah, and that's made some parents worried about their children's privacy. In fact, there's a lawsuit about that pending right now. It'll be interesting to see what happens with that. But in the meantime, Amazon's efforts to make it kid-friendly seem to be working. Parents tell me it's the it toy.
Like the Walkman. That was one of the first ubiquitous tech things I desperately wanted and could not afford. But I have to say, though, this is a company whose job it is to make money. And they have a ton of access to kids since smart speakers are on all the time. Should parents be worried that Alexa will try to sell stuff to their kids?
I did ask Sherman about that. Is Amazon grooming these kids to become future customers?
I hope they will. We do a good job and they like the things that we build, but I don't think about, the team does not come in and think about, oh, okay, we hope that they are buying toilet paper and paper, you know, products or shirts or whatever when they're 18. I think there's a big gap between when our products, which are really designed for little kids, you know, in that 3 to 12 range, and then they go through when they become teenagers and they have lots of opinions about how that works before they actually can become Amazon full-fledged customers.
Oh, so he's saying, yes, they do want eventually to have these kids as customers. It's just that it's a long time before a kid grows up and gets a credit card. I'm willing to bet, though, that when that day comes, it's going to be very easy for the next generation to find it completely natural to go to Amazon for just about everything.
Yeah, Amazon's playing the long game here. And the way it's doing that is by trying to make Alexa an appropriate, reliable background companion that increasingly understands what it means to be a kid.
At some point in time, a kid's going to ask, what is a unicorn's favorite food? And I think Alexa, if she doesn't know that today, can know it tomorrow. And the next random question that a kid is asking as they're trying to understand the world around them or they're engaging in imaginative play, Alexa can be there over the course of the next 10 years. Absolutely.
I'm not your mother, but I like you unconditionally.
Joshua, is it possible that an Amazon engineer does not know that there is no such thing as a unicorn?
Well, it's up to his parents whether to break that news to him. Coming up, do we want Alexa to be there for our children over the next 10 years?
I'm not your mother. I'm happily single. I'm not your mother. I'm happily single. I'm not your mother.
I'm happily single.
I'm not your mother.
I'm happily single. I'm not your mother.
I'm happily single.
I'm not your mother.
I'm happily single.
I'm not your mother.
I'm happily single.
I'm not your mother, but I love you unconditionally.
Clearly, Amazon is planning to be in the kids' smart speaker market for a long time. And that means a whole generation of kids is growing up with an automated voice assistant at their beck and call. A lot of parents are wondering how that's going to affect their family life. I know I am. One researcher told me, if you want to study family dynamics and how Alexa might be affecting them, record how people interact at the family dinner table. I wanted to try this out for myself, so I invited Alexa to dinner. Okay.
So we're experimenting with having Alexa at the table, and...
I added table to your shopping list.
What? You said her name!
So it begins.
Here's how my wife, Emily, thinks about our dinners.
I like to know what people did with their days. We're not together all day, and so it's a time when we can sit down and all be together, and then it's a chance to be a little bit silly too. I think we kind of joke around with each other during a meal a lot. It's a pretty laid back time for us, so that's why I like about dinner.
So she wasn't super excited about my plan to invite Alexa to the dinner table over several nights, but I figured, you know, sometimes it's hard to get my kids to talk about their day. Like, I ask them what they did, and they say, stuff.
Right, so maybe Alexa could help.
Yeah. I told my family, just treat Alexa like a dinner guest. But that broke down pretty quickly.
Alexa, fart. Why is that a thing? Chicken
Alexa.
Nugget.
She can fart when
Alexa.
Make a burping noise.
Said no rules.
For burger. I recommend the top recipe called the burger, which takes 30 minutes to make. You can ask for...
Clearly, I needed to be more strategic. So on the second night, we tried using a conversation starter skill on Alexa.
Welcome to How Was Your Day, Kids? What? Would you like to start? If so, say yes.
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 If you didn't care at all what people thought of you, what clothes would you wear?
Ooh.
If you'd like another topic, say next.
Honestly, I would wear what I'm wearing now, including the skirt.
Oh, that's good.
Because I really actually don't care. I mean, I probably care a little bit, but I actually don't care a lot like a lot of people do.
Every night after that, we tried something else.
Alexa, announce that dinner is ready.
Announcing.
We tried Alexa skills that address things that we sometimes struggle with as parents at the dinner table.
Alexa, tell my kids to eat their food.
You need to eat your food.
Fine.
Nom.
I don't understand why that's necessary.
Yeah, you can just tell them yourself. Yeah.
But the more skills we tried, the more we wondered this question. Couldn't we just be having these conversations ourselves?
I think it was nice. I think another thing you could do, which would be much easier, is to take a piece of paper of conversation starters and print it out.
Yeah.
Or you just print it out, cut them up, and put them in a mason jar. Pull them out one by one. Why do we need a fifth voice at the table that just mucks up the flow of conversation? She inserts herself in this weird way.
I love this. The kids start off living up to the parental nightmare. You know, they're farting at the table. So they're making fart sounds at the table. And in a matter of days, they're the Alexa critics saying they don't quite know why she's there.
I've got to give Alexa credit, though. I mean, we used to do that thing with the mason jars full of conversation starters, and I don't think we would have thought of trying it again without her. So she shook us out of our regular patterns. My wife and kids are not alone in feeling conflicted about Alexa, though. More on that after the break. So there's this really freaky animated kids movie called Coraline that has some relevance to this conversation. The movie's about a kid named Coraline whose parents are distracted and don't pay her enough attention. Coraline falls into another world where she meets a fake version of her parents.
Mom? What are you doing here in the middle of the night?
You're just in time for supper, dear.
That's the mom? She sounds like one of the Stepford Wives.
Which is another movie about where robots pose as people. Coraline's fake parents look like her real parents, but they have a tell. They have buttons where their eyes should be.
My mother doesn't have
buttons? Do you like them?
The fake parents shower her with the attention that she craves, and they offer to adopt her.
But there must be a catch.
Of course. She has to sew buttons on her eyes, too.
No way! You're not sewing buttons in my eyes!
Oh, but we need a yes!
The movie says something about a very normal fear shared by kids and parents, that they could lose each other. In this case, through mimicry. Sometimes smart speakers bring up some of the same fears. One reason is because Alexa has a human-like voice.
There was kind of this ick factor for a lot of parents. For some reason, it was really this voice interface that seemed to pose a risk or to raise some red flags.
That's Alexis Hinneker, the director of the User Empowerment Lab at the University of Washington Information School. She surveyed parents about what technology they'd accept at the dinner table and what technology they would not.
Ah, the dinner table again.
Hinneker says these parents generally don't like screens at the dinner table, but they preferred screens at the dinner table over smart speakers by a wide margin. And they really didn't like the idea of a smart speaker offering them tools to help parent their children.
So they didn't want an Echo telling their child to sit still or helping them regulate what they eat or their behavior or their conversations with other people. They really saw that as something that was personally meaningful for them and important for them to maintain control over.
Ah, so it's like in Coraline. In this interpretation, the buttons are sort of like blinders we put on when we accept things from technology that we used to get from humans.
Yeah, and that's why these parents got territorial when they see Alexa acting like a human.
They seem to be saying, you know, this is kind of like my cross to bear, and technology doesn't get to do that job, even if that would make my life easier.
But here's something amazing. It turns out kids are worried about the same thing. For example, remember that movie Coraline? It's pretty significant. In some of the research studies, kids kept bringing it up. They said Coraline was creepy, and it scared them because they feared something like that could happen to them, that technology could replace their parents.
That's pretty wild. I didn't realize that was going on at all.
I learned that from Jason Yip, a researcher who's been studying the same group of kids for years at the University of Washington Information School. And over that time, he's learned a lot about how those kids think about technology and why. He said kids are worried about how much their parents are distracted by technology, and some even worried that parents might choose technology over them.
One of the kids, I think, in the study had talked about Pepper the robot, this like 3 or 4 foot tall humanoid looking robot being like, oh my gosh, my parent might like this robot better than me. It could like replace me. And so with smart speakers, is it the same thing sort of? Is it going to do certain tasks that my parents would normally do, like read a story to me?
I just find that so fascinating. Children want their parent to read the story. They want the relationship to be strong. They want things to stay the way that they are.
But kids can also want freedom from too much parental oversight. And I don't know how I feel about this. I've seen how my own daughter uses an Echo Dot to listen to music in her room or to set timers and alarm clocks so that she, as a new sixth grader, no longer needs to be woken up by her parents. So she is using technology to become more independent, which is, you know, maybe that's the flip side of that fear that technology could cause us to grow farther apart. I mean, isn't that what we want? For our kids to be able to survive without us? And doesn't that mean letting go of fear?
It does mean letting go of fear. It doesn't make it easier. But Joshua, I think we want both things. We want children to become more independent, and we want to live in a close family, and we can have both. What do they think about these worries about Alexa down at Amazon?
Well, when I brought that up with Josh Sherman, the head of kids and family at Amazon, he was kind of like, really? And I get his skepticism. I mean, just spend 5 minutes with Alexa and there is no mistaking her for human.
I understand the question, but I feel like we're very far away from that. Personally, and in my family, I haven't seen a situation where anybody has been confused about who's the human and who's not.
But Jason Yip says we still need to take these fears seriously in order to make technology better.
I've kind of avoided things like saying technology is good, technology is bad, right? It's just more like, no, they're just situated in this world and we can work with them and we can really build out a new world. But we've got to like listen to the kids.
And Yip says that when kids or parents are feeling fear, that is an opportunity to talk about what's being gained or what's being lost.
I'm struck by how much this sounds like what parents were told years ago about cell phones and screens in the home. These things became necessities of life for working families and kids with homework, but it unleashed so many issues, like kids not going outside because they prefer to look at a screen or using their computers and cell phones for things that are really not allowed. And in many families, these issues are still not resolved. And now the smart speakers entering the mix. The technologies are evolving faster than we can adapt our family norms to them.
Yeah. Parents are grappling with all these conflicting emotions.
What do I do if my daughter doesn't respect Alexa?
Does Alexa change the way that my children think about women?
How do I resolve disagreements with my kids over Alexa?
Where does the audio of my child ordering Alexa around go? Where does it live? How is it used?
Is Alexa going to make my kid behave a little bit like a robot?
Is my son using Alexa to cheat on homework?
Does my kid really understand what Alexa is?
You know, with smart speakers, some are focused on the surveillance issues, Like, do they want something that's always on listening to their kids? And for others, it taps this deeper fear that it's somehow going to change the parent-child dynamic.
I get why there's anxiety, but I also get why the smart speaker is staying in the family home, because it is something that a family can explore together, where screens often make us just feel alone together.
Carolyn, I just realized something.
What?
When my family had our Alexa dinners, we were trying to use Alexa as a conversation starter for our kids.
Mm-hmm.
But Alexa already is a conversation starter. I mean, this topic of how we're navigating the changing world with our kids is a never-ending source of conversations.
You are so right.
So let's continue it next week, right?
Next time on Primed, we'll ask the question, can Alexa improve life for elderly people? And I think you'd be very surprised.
Primed is a production of KUOW Public Radio. It's hosted by me, Joshua McNichols.
And me, Carolyn Adolph. Our producer is Alec Cowan. Our editor is Carol Smith. Our executives are Jill Jackson and Brendan Sweeney.
Music this week by Raymond Scott and Alec Cowan. You can find links on our website.
This is a new season of Primed, and we want people to know about it. So we're asking you to help us get the word out. Write a review or tell a friend about it.
And thanks for listening.
I can't imagine Alexa being a parent. Kids, cut that out. No, stop it. Really, stop it.